The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Kleiben idem sich zusammen, kommen Herren mit den Damen, prasten bei einer guten Woche. Und tanzen hopp, hopp, idalek, gemacht die ganze Nacht und singen bim, bam, idalek. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got a terrific show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be talking with Professor Nathan Aviezer, who is an expert on science and Torah. I had a wonderful conversation with him. You'll just love it, I'm sure. It's one of my favorite subjects all time. I could devote hours and hours and hours and hours to it. We have an eclectic selection of music. Our prayers, of course, are with the people in Israel. We have a Hanukkah song, of course, because this Hanukkah is coming up. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayishlach. We have a Hasidic story. Hopefully, if we have time before we do anything else, let's go right to the news.
Shin Bet, Israel's FBI, arrested members of the terrorist cell that carried out the attack on the Tel Aviv bus on Wednesday. The cell's members, who are identified with Hamas and Islamic Jihad, admitted they carried out the attack. The investigation is ongoing, and additional arrests are expected. Hamas terror leader Ismail Haniyeh called on Palestinians in the West Bank to launch a third intifada. Crowds took to the streets in Gaza Thursday to celebrate what Hamas declared as a victory against Israel's military campaign. Since the ceasefire on Wednesday, 36 rockets have been fired from Gaza, and the IDF shot and killed one Palestinian near the Gaza security fence. The Lebanese army defused a rocket located in southern Lebanon aimed at northern Israel, the third caught before launch this week. Two rockets were fired at Israel but landed inside Lebanon. Several Palestinian groups operate in southern Lebanon, though the border has been quiet in recent years. The Iran-backed terror group Hezbollah is also based in Lebanon. Now that the ceasefire is in effect, Israelis can focus on the upcoming election in January. Prime Minister Netanyahu's center-right leaning Likud forces joined with Avigdor Lieberman's far-right Israel Beiteinu to form the Likud Beiteinu Party. In response, left-leaning Labor and former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are wooing centrist leader Tzipi Livni to join forces. The Jewish Agency for Israel took 9,000 children and teenagers for a day of fun in hopes of providing residents of southern Israel with some relief from the recent rocket attacks. The children and their families enjoyed a range of fun activities Thursday, such as going to the zoo in Jerusalem. The Jewish Federations in North America funded the activities. In other news, Israel is in the process of developing the Magic Wand anti-missile system, which is supposed to be able to intercept short-range and medium-range rockets with greater precision than the Iron Dome. Israel will test the system in the Negev in the coming days. Shin Bet, again, that's the Israel FBI, arrested 37-year-old Essam Hashem Ali Mashahara in Jerusalem of suspicion that he passed sensitive information to enemy terrorist organizations. According to the Shin Bet, Mashahara visited Lebanon in June and was convinced to spy for the organization. Mashahara allegedly provided information on a long list of sites in Israel, including the Knesset and the residence of the Prime Minister and Defense Minister Ehud Barak. The body of former Palestinian chairman Yasser Arafat will be exhumed Tuesday to see if he was poisoned with a radioactive isotope. A group of international experts arrived in Ramallah to take samples of Arafat's remains for further study in European labs. And some good news, the recent clash in Gaza had no effect on the shekel. There are 3.87 shekels per U.S. dollar, roughly the same from 3 weeks ago. And further good news, the Bundestag, Germany's lower house of parliament, began debate on a bill to legalize circumcision in Germany. The upper house of parliament passed the draft last month. A final vote is expected in a few weeks. And if you recall, this is in lieu of what's happening in the city of Cologne and elsewhere in Germany, where they tried to pass laws banning ritual circumcision. And finally, the story that my daughter in Herzliya referred to as wild. A woman was slightly injured in Herzliya last night after several stray horses caused a three-car accident. One of the horses was killed, another injured, while police captured the third. And that would be akin to having a horse accident in downtown Royal Oak, just to put it in perspective. And that is indeed weird. And that's the news.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering are the only kosher caterers in Southeast Michigan to offer both dairy and glatt kosher menus. Now offering wedding packages starting at just $40 a person. Think of Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering for your next bar or bat mitzvah. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will take care of all of your tray catering and shiva trays as well. Impressive food and exceptional service will keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will cater your event at your favorite location, and on-premise catering is available at Adat Shalom and the JCC. Call today, 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327. And make your affair an affair to remember.
Herr Schulfen, and here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Professor Nathan Aviezer, who's a professor of physics at Bar-Ilan University. He's talking about Torah and science. How are you today, Professor Aviezer?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good to hear. I'm so glad that you've graced our airwaves this time with some busy time that you have. First of all, before we get into the meat of the subject, is one of my favorite all-time subjects. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I actually grew up in Detroit. I went to Wayne University, got my bachelor's degree there, and then I went to the University of Chicago for my PhD, and got my wife there too for the first one.
You got a PhD and then, an MRS, okay.
After I did postdoctoral work at the University of Illinois with Professor John Bardeen, who is the only person ever to win two Nobel Prizes in physics.
Wow.
And then I worked for several years at IBM in New York, and there I worked with Leo Isaki wasn't so smart. He only won one Nobel Prize.
Okay.
And then I went to Israel, and I've been at Bar-Ilan ever since for about 40 years.
Terrific. What?
In addition to my work in physics, I have a long-standing interest in Torah and science. I'm here on lecture tour, speaking in various places about Torah and science.
Okay, that's terrific. What specific part of physics do you?
I work in solid-state physics. Physics of materials.
Okay, that's great. Okay, as a kid, I was a young kid. I must have been maybe 12 or 13. I remember seeing a cartoon on an op-ed page. It were three theologians sitting on a cloud, and there was a ladder perched against the cloud. And on the top of the ladder, with his head poking up through the cloud, looking at the theologians, was a scientist. And the caption read, "What took you so long? We've been waiting." The idea being is that the theologians are waiting for the scientists to actually catch up. And it impressed me that, yes, maybe science doesn't hold all the answers, or maybe not doesn't hold all the answers yet, and that there is no contradiction, or the contradictions can be weighed through. Professor Aviezer, what do you think? Are they mutually exclusive to believe in God and to trust science?
Well, this is a very interesting question. Everybody asks sooner for later. The large questions of life. Where did the universe come from? Where did life come from? Where did people come from? The Torah has an answer to these questions in the first chapter of Sefer Genesis. And for hundreds of years, science had no idea what the answer to these questions was. But in the last few decades, all of this has changed. And for the first time in history, science also has an answer to these questions. So since we have a Torah answer and a scientific answer, it's interesting to compare these two answers. And remarkably, there's a remarkable correspondence and harmony between what the scientists have discovered at the end of the 20th century and what we find written in our Holy Torah hundreds, thousands of years ago. And that's what my books are about. I can give you examples.
Okay, please do.
Okay, the most important, the most interesting verse in the first chapter of the Torah is Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So the Torah tells us that the earth, that the universe began through an act of our creation. Creation, presumably from nothing, and for a long time, scientists thought that's impossible. You can't create something from nothing. And recently, there's been a reassessment. And the modern theory of cosmology is a branch of science that deals with the origin of the universe. The modern theory is called the Big Bang Theory of Cosmology. I'm sure everybody has heard this term. The theory is supported by a vast array of scientific evidence. It is accepted by every cosmologist. It is taught in every university. The theory was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics. And the central theme of the Big Bang Theory is that the universe began through an act of creation. I repeat, the universe began through an act of our creation. And it's interesting to quote some of the world's leading authorities on the subject. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Paul Dirac. Paul Dirac is a Nobel Prize winner from the University of Cambridge and one of the towering giants of 20th century physics. Professor Dirac writes, quote, "It seems certain that there is a definite time of our creation. Not that maybe or it's possible or it's likely. This Nobel Prize winner tells us it is certain." Professor Alan Guth from MIT is America's leading cosmologist. He writes, quote, "The instant of creation remains unexplained." Another important cosmologist is Professor Joseph Sillick, University of California. He recently wrote a book on the Big Bang entitled The Big Bang. And his very first sentence is, quote, "The Big Bang is the modern scientific version of our creation." Finally, let me mention Professor Stephen Hawking, the cosmologist with a capital C, the superstar of the University of Cambridge. Professor Hawkins writes, "The creation lies outside the scope of the known laws of physics."
Okay, that's all very interesting.
Every scientist speaks of the creation of the universe and uses the term creation to describe what happened, because today every scientist can take appropriate instruments, go to the laboratory, make appropriate measurements, and obtain clear and unequivocal scientific proof that the universe indeed began through an act of our creation. Creation isn't a matter of religious faith anymore. It is an established scientific result.
Okay, now let me ask you, our guest, if you're just tuning in, is Professor Nathan Aviezer. He's a professor of physics at Bar-Ilan University and is lecturing here in North America on physics and science and faith. I remember about 7 or 8 years ago listening to a radio program. It was a panel discussion of physicists. I don't remember any of the names, but I know one was from the University of Chicago, one of them was from Caltech, one was from MIT. And
distinguished places.
Yes, and they were talking about the paradigm of the universe, say, at 5 seconds after the Big Bang. They sat down and they mathematically calculated and based on whatever they based things on and were discussing it. And then I heard a program about 2 years ago, maybe three, where they were discussing what the paradigm of the universe was at about 5 nanoseconds. So they've cut it down, like, considerably. from 5 seconds to 5 billionths of a second as the paradigm of the universe. Now, and then I postulated, I said, well, if they can do that, they're probably going to, maybe in like 5 years ago, they'll get down past picas, and I'm even not sure what's less than a picosecond, if there's a name for 5 quadrillionths of a second.
Astroseconds.
Yeah, so, but what happens then is it seems like it's okay. What they can possibly do is just keep cutting the number in half. And if you keep cutting the number in half, you're never going to get there. Is that a correct assumption? Or can we mathematically find God, do you think, Professor Aviezer?
It's not a question of God. Let me say something about this. Every scientist that I mention in my book or in my lectures, I never mention a religious scientist. If he's religious, he may twist things and distort things to satisfy religious belief. Every scientist I quote is a complete atheist. To him, God doesn't exist. These scientists are not discussing God. And these scientists who say creation, they do not mean there's a religious element here. Creation to them means that the universe had a beginning. It suddenly came into appearance. That's what creation means to the scientists.
Okay.
The scientists are never going to find God because you don't find God through science. God is a matter of religious belief.
Okay. Are they going to ever get to their primary cause, which is the way the Rambam actually defines God as being the first cause of creation?
Well, as I said, they don't talk about God. They don't talk about causes. To a scientist, how did the universe, it just popped into being. Now, this is possible to something called quantum fluctuations, which I can't describe. It's very technical, but there is no, not only is there no contradiction between what the scientists discovered and what the Torah says, there is harmony. The Torah says the universe began through an act of creation. The scientists say the universe began through an act of our creation. That's harmony. What caused that creation, what caused the universe to appear, is a matter of belief. And therefore, it's more than that. Perhaps I could go one step further. What do we read on the first day of our creation? Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or Vayehi Or. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. On the first day of creation, there's no sun and no stars and no moon and no bulbs and no people and no matches. And there's no source of light anybody ever heard of. And the Torah says, let there be light. And for thousands of years, nobody knew what these words meant. Then we're told it. The rabbis say it's spiritual light, it's this, but it can't be physical light. Because they thought there was no physical light before the sun. And now the scientists come and say, yes, there was. That's the way the world began. When they speak about creation, creation of what? The creation of the sudden appearance of an enormous ball of light, which scientists call the primeval light bulb. It has a popular name, Big Bang. That's the name of the theory. Exactly what the Torah tells us. The world, not only was it created, it was created through light. Exactly. That's what the harmony that I'm speaking about is. My books are full of examples like this. There's harmony, consistency between the words of the Torah and the words of the scientists.
Okay, let's flip it a little bit, the discussion, Professor Aviezer. Till now, it sounds like you've been trying to placate the scientists into accepting the Bible. But I
do that.
I know that theologians get really stuffy in their opinions about things. And there's a lot of fundamentalists, and we're talking about Jewish people also, that the Bible is 100%. And so now what I'd like you to tell me is, when you're talking to a group of rabbis, per se, and you'd like to convince them of the efficacy and truth in science and science theory, how do you go about doing that, Professor Aviezer?
Well, first of all, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. What I do is just point out the simple sentence, there's harmony between Torah and science. My view of science is it's not something which changes every day. The scientists are not fools who don't know what they're talking about. Science is a search for truth, and the scientists have found enormous amount of truth in various areas. One should not minimize what the scientists tell us. And it's the fact. It just turns out that there is an enormous correspondence between the Torah and science. Not everything works. I'm not ashamed to say I can't explain everything. Of course, I talk about what I can explain, not what I cannot explain.
Yeah.
The fundamentalists have a view that every word in the Torah has to be taken literally. When they say, like I say, that the Torah is the word of God, on that we agree, but that does not mean that every word is to be understood literally. God speaks in parables. God speaks in analogies. So that is where I part company with the fundamentalists. And it's not I that has made up this idea that the Torah speaks in analogies. Maimonides, Rambam, 800 years ago, wrote what was probably the most important chapter ever written on Torah and science, Guide to the Perplexed, Part 2, Chapter 25. He says, you don't have to understand every word. And he gives an example of the creation, of the days of creation. The 6 days of creation are not to be understood as 6 periods of 24 hours. The 6 phases or stages in the development of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
he said this 800 years ago when nobody had any questions. It's not apologetics because of embarrassing scientific questions. That's what he says is the proper way to understand Torah.
Okay, so then that you would answer the question of 6 days of creation and the age of the universe being 5,773 years.
Well, the six
versus,
days are not.
You would like to call them epochs rather than
yes.
the days.
Epic, phases, divine.
But it could be that the Almighty did create them in 6 days. Is it not possible?
It's possible, but scientists tell us that's not what happened.
Okay. So,
that's why I believe that's not what happened, because mm-hmm. the scientists have unequivocal evidence that our universe is 14 billion years old.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to argue about the age of the universe, because we're not going to get anywhere with it, because no one was here back then anyway. So the
No, we don't have to be there back there. The scientists can tell you today, by measurements they make in 2012, how old the universe was.
Right. So so what do you do when you come across a fundamentalist that says, no, 6 days is 6 days?
What do I do? I don't know what I do. I don't usually come across them because they live in their world and I live in my world. They have their view and I have my view. And two Jews have 3 opinions.
That's also
well.
True. Yes. I happen to be a fundamentalist and also an adherent of science. And when people ask me, like, about dinosaurs and whatnot, my answer is that when we look at the story of creation and Adam, so Adam was created as an adult, and no one's going to argue to say that Adam was not an adult. The story says he was created. He's called Adam, man. He's called a man implies man, not boy. So, and we're actually told that he was 35 years old. So the day that Adam opened up his eyes on day one, he was 35. So if that be the case, so 5,773 years later, so we can have things that God created that were 3, 4, 5, 14 billion years old. But they were created 5,773 years ago. I'm sure, Professor Avios, you've heard of that theory.
Yes, well, there are two reasons I don't buy that. First of all, you then have to invoke miracles every place. It's not just Adam. You have to invoke miracles to explain every single thing. And to me, and a correspondence between Torah and science shouldn't be based on many, many miracles. And second of all, I wonder, why did God make these fossils and put them in the rocks and make the radioactive particles which tell me about the age of the universe? And why did he make the geology look this way? And why did he make all these various things to make the universe look old?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. And the way I come back and answer this, I've been asked this question, is if everything that we had in the world can only be dated back 5,700 years, what would be our conclusion about creation? That it must have happened 5,700 years ago, and therefore we would lack the free choice of any type of scientific investigation to come up with a freely chosen conclusion that it must be 14 billion years. That's how I would answer that last question. But I don't do very well with God, with why God questions. I may always make a caveat. I never second guess God. So,
okay.
So anyway, so this is actually one of my absolute favorite topics in discussing the relationship between science and faith. And if you're just tuning in, which you should have tuned in at 11 o'clock, by the way, just to let you people know, that we are speaking with Professor Nathan Aviezer. He's a professor of physics at Bar-Ilan University. Now, Bar-Ilan itself provides probably the perfect medium for a person like yourself, would you not?
Yes, it is.
Because
I give a course in Torrent Science. I have hundreds of students, and they, in fact, Torrent Science is one of their big things. So they're very happy with my work.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, just the whole medium Bar-Ilan is you have people who are faith-based, who are studying science and et cetera. So
right.
it provides it, it. Now, so a person who's like the head of the department of physics at, you're not the department chair, you're just you are a professor, correct?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Professor.
So you have a person who's like the chair, who's like representing
physics. It's a rotating job, yeah.
Okay, who's representing physics. That's his job, is to represent physics in a religious institution. It's sort of like, how does a person like that deal with this pulling of two philosophies?
Well, we don't think science is a philosophy. Science is an attempt to understand how the world operates. And no physics department in the world mentions religion.
Mm-hmm.
We have other nature, and the nature tells us how things go. So whether a person is a believer or a non-believer, it has no effect on his scientific work. So there really isn't any problem of any sort.
Uh-huh. When you say that, it seems surprising to me, is because you do have, I'm sure that I would take a guess that not everybody who attends Bar-Ilan University is religious. Would that be correct?
No. Students okay. not have to be, half the students are not religious. But what they have to do is they have to take courses in Jewish studies. They don't have to observe the religion, but they have to know about the religion.
Mm-hmm.
Every student has to take 7 courses in Jewish studies. He can choose what he wants. There's a large amount. My course is one of the courses that the students can take to satisfy this requirement.
Mm-hmm.
About half the students are observant, half are believers, half are not believers, but the faculty is sort of 90% observant.
Mm-hmm. Would it be contradictory if a physics professor actually did use the word God?
No.
Okay. I mean, because I'm thinking of my
most universities, non-religious people use the word God.
Okay, that's good too.
It's not a dirty word.
In my personal travels as a high school student, what really got me focused on religion, being raised in a non-practicing, non-thinking about Judaism type home, back in the early 70s, was a physics teacher who was explaining quantum mechanics to the class, and I just said, I don't understand this. And she explained it again. I said, no. I said, I got the equation. It filled up a whole, three blackboards over there on the wall. I said, I got it, but why does it do that? And she said, well, that's the way God made it happen. So
that's a religious answer.
Right. So it got me thinking, well, maybe the science is just a little bit, the blanket is just a little too short. That was what my conclusion was at that point as a 16-year-old.
Science deals with these questions of why. Now, science deals with questions of what.
Okay. Wow. That's terrific. Okay. This is unfortunate. I could talk about this for fill up the whole entire show, but we're done with this segment of the show. We want to thank you so much, Professor Nathan Aviezer, professor of physics at Bar-Ilan, who's around touring the country, talking about science and faith. We wish you continued success, and let us know what happens next time you're back in town.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Do you find yourself at a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn. And I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach at 248-613-1804, 613-1804, and visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I am really sorry to say that today is the last day of operations for Franklin Cider. I was hoping that since November is an extra Sunday. Nope. The Sunday after Thanksgiving is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's today. And if you want Franklin Cider, today is the day. You better get it today. And we'll wish them good luck. And we want to thank the Peltz family and their continued support of the Jewish Hour and the Jewish Hour's continued support of the Peltz family in procuring that wonderful cider. And just to remember that everything else is just juice. We got some music for you. Since today is Sunday, technically speaking, you could still wish somebody a good week because the week is just beginning. So this is Benny Friedman wishing you a good vote, a good week.
chiropractic health care offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. New to the Israeli scene is a gentleman by the name of Ben Snoof. Has a very high voice for a person of his age. He is not, it sounds like one of these teenagers, but he's not a teenager. He's got a beard longer than mine. He's come out recently with a CD called The Journey, Hanesia. And we're going to listen to the title piece called The Journey.
Thank you. Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. Since Hanukkah is coming, yes, we have, and I'm always trying to look for the most eclectic, out-of-the-box type Hanukkah music. So we have, for your listening pleasure, this is Samson Kemmelmacher playing that famous song, Hanukkah Geld, which means money which you give to your kids for Hanukkah instead of gifts.
Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder, lachen der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder, lachen der ganzen Welt. Die Mischpuche sieht schön beim Tisch, in dem am Trug gefüllte Fisch. Sehnen schön die Kinder zufrieden, sehr lang als sie 40 Badiden. Sehnen schön die Kinder zufrieden, sehr lang als sie 40 Badiden. Chanukki, Chanukki, Chanukki Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukki, Hanukki, Hanukki Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach auf der ganzen Welt. Auf Hanukki mit Zint und der Licht, nur die Sonne im Kern sei nichts der Schlecht. In mir alle trinken aus Verschollen, auf Hanukki soll ich nach Gitten holen. In mir alle trinken aus Verschollen, auf Hanukki soll ich nach Gitten holen. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld.
Are you going to be studying
the Kinder lach an der ganze Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld. Freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganze Welt. Yabba digi dai, yabba digi dai, yabba dabba digi digi dai. Yabba digi dai, yabba digi dai, yabba dabba digi digi dai. Die Mischpuche sitzt aus Gespräch, die Mama ist gekommen von der Kleid. In mir geht ins Chanukki Geld, am Masel ist sie leiden nach der Welt. In mir geht ins Chanukki Geld, am Erchai leiden nach der Welt. Chanukki, Chanukki, Chanukki Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah Geld, freien sich die Kinder lach an der ganzen Welt.
ganzer Welt. Chanukki, Chanukki, Chanukki Geld. Freuen sich die Kinder nach an der ganzer Welt. Chanukki, Chanukki, Chanukki Geld. Freuen sich die Kinder nach an der ganzer Welt. Freuen sich die Kinder nach an der ganzer Welt.
Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes, Amy?
I have a secret to tell you.
What is it, Amy?
I'm having an affair.
Really? Who's catering?
Why, Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering, of course. They're a great value, and their sumptuous menus will just keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will handle all your party needs, from dairy or deli trays for 10 or to elaborate weddings for 1,000. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will work within your budget. Call 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327, and make your affair a real Micaiah.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Time is fleeting away, so without further ado, this portion is the portion of Vayishlach. It can be found in the book of Genesis in chapter 32 and following. It talks about the encounter between Jacob and Esav when Jacob comes back from Uncle Laban's house with his 12 kids, 11 kids actually, but who's counting, and all of his stuff. And it says there that Jacob was afraid. So he gave a tenth of all that he had to Esav, which that's okay, kind of like buy him out. That's okay. We can understand such a thing. But then it says he bowed down to him 7 times. This was not acceptable. Jacob, representing good and the Jewish people in the analogy, there's no reason to bow down to Esav, who represents evil and the nations of the world, especially in light of what's been going on for these last weeks or so in Israel. There is no reason that Israel has to lay down and allow itself to get trampled and allow its citizens to be harmed. We can take a look from the portion. It says, always look at the portion for a simple what to do. The idea is that, well, Jacob had problems after that. He had a problem with Dinah being abducted. He had a problem with Joseph. There were 7 kings who ruled Israel before a king arose in Israel from the Edomite tribes. We need to stand up for who we are. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop.
You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Frutasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Parashal Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. If you want to get in touch with me, the way to do that, rabbifinman.com, rabbifinman.com. You'll be able to contact me there. I have archived editions of the show there. I have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which are films of myself and written missives into the portion of the week in Hasidic Stories. And, of course, the all-important donations page. We need your help. The Jewish Hour is supported by listeners like you. Primarily, we have some sponsorships that pays for a part of it, but the majority of the Jewish Hour is paid for by listeners just like you. So go to the Jewish Hour, go to therabbifinman.com, click on the donations page, and you'll be happier. Don't like doing that? Well, send a check money under check money order or otherwise. In an envelope to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. People have been asking me, what can we do in light of what's been happening? And, of course, we can send money. Money seems to solve a lot of problems, right? We can say a prayer, a chapter of Psalms on behalf of for peace in the Middle East. But when you take it one step further, I think a lot of it has to do with, like, consideration of others. Just very quickly, there is a story. Yesterday was the anniversary of the release of prison of the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it was a day in which the Rebbe would always hold a Hasidic gathering to celebrate. 1975, he did not. And it surprised everybody. So somebody actually found out what was the deal. There was a young kid who entered school. He was new to the area. He was new to the school. And kids were picking on him. And his mother wrote the Rebbe the situation that she reported to the principal, that kids are picking on him and nothing's helping. The Rebbe wrote a letter to the principal. Do I have to come there and solve this problem? Do something about it. So it says that kid's bar mitzvah was that day, the Yud Kislev, the day which is celebrated it. And the Rebbe said that if I have a Farbrengen, then everybody's a Hasidic gathering, and everybody's going to leave his bar mitzvah celebration. And how's he supposed to feel? So that year, the only year that such a thing happened, the Rebbe did not hold a gathering to the benefit of others. So because he took into the consideration of the sensitive 13-year-old boy. That's going to do it for the show. We hope you had a great time listening. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope that things really turn out really well for people in Israel. We hope you have a great week and everybody else around the world has a great week. We hope to see you again back again next week. Take care.